were cordially invited to a night at the opera.
Started reading this book, and there are sections in it that give instructions to a person who is dead.
I'm especially not afraid to die.
Fingernail scrapings from each finger.
Fine.
What about blood samples?
Right, blood samples as well.
Delta Green Killing Field. This is Delta Green Killing Field. Last things last. This is the introductory scenario for Delta Green in Delta Green Need to Know. I am Ross Payton. I am the handler for this operation. We have three new agents going on their first mission through an extremely secretive group in the U.S. government. A special access program so restricted that they hardly ever use its name, Delta Green. It was assembled to deal with what it tells the agents are threats that must be kept from the public and that are, for lack of a better term, unnatural. The term unnatural is never defined, but the three agents have been told there's more than what reality advertises.
You have been all given an encrypted message in your work email saying that you have been assigned to a joint terrorism task force. Your supervisors are not allowed to ask about it, but they know that you have been put on this duty. Plane tickets have been reserved in your name. You are to gather at 2 p.m. the next day at a conference room in the post office headquarters in Los Angeles. Let us begin with our first player, Jacqueline. Please introduce yourself, and then let's talk about your character.
Hello. My name is Jacqueline Brick. My pronouns are she, her, they, them, and when I'm feeling fancy, fey, femme. I am a game designer, editor, and general doer of things in both the TTRPG and LARP industries. You can find out more about me on my Twitter, if it is not dead by this drop. I also have a website, which is jacquelinebrick.design. You can also find me on Linktree as Rufflejax.
So, Jacqueline, tell us about your character.
My character is a Department of State intelligence analyst. She has a bachelor's in international relations and a master's in applied intelligence, both from Georgetown. She speaks four different languages. She is a bit of a prodigy in that regard. She speaks Cantonese, Arabic, Farsi, and Spanish. An interesting fact about her is that she was born on leap year of 1992.
Oh, right. And what is her name?
Lydia Key.
Where is she when she gets this encrypted message?
I'm going to say that she gets it after hours, so she is currently relaxing in her DC apartment, heavily overpriced, but she works in the city, so what are you going to do? And gets this message on her work phone and is immediately suspicious.
It is not something you can ignore. You have been part. You know enough about the special access program that they. I mean, you can. So, are you just going to pack your bag and go? Or are you going to like verify it?
I'm going to verify it. Absolutely. Also, please tell me what I know about the special access program, because that seems like something that I should know how much I know about it.
The special access program is a top secret interagency task force with a permanent standing. So it is almost like a shadow agency. Composed of members of every, multiple agencies. You know, the CIA, NSA, and FBI all have members in it, as well as the State Department. You have been added to it for your language skills. You have had to translate certain documents and emails. And the things you, do you have a cult?
No, I do not.
Okay, so the words and the things they are describing in these messages are all extremely vague and weird. A lot of metaphysical...
I'm sorry, I have 10%.
Okay, well, there's terms that relate to metaphysics and like weird mentions of organizations you recognize as cults. As far as you can tell, it is a task force focusing on fringe religions and cults. This is the first time you've been asked to go out into the field. Not every other thing you've been asked to has been to translate documents, which you do, you know, at work or at home. So this is unusual, but you were briefed that sometimes people in the special access program are told to go into the field. There's from what you can tell, the people in this are unusually dedicated, and this is not, as far as you can tell, a corrupt. Well, not a sense of like a grift, right? Like it is not meant to get defense dollars or, you know, but, you know, contracts. Yeah, it is highly unusual. What's your bureaucracy?
My bureaucracy is quite good. It is 50.
Well, you can tell it is this amorphous thing that the people running it are holding their cards very close to their vest. And the impression you get is they really believe in this. This is not like something to boost their careers. This is not to boost the pocket of, to further a future career in as a lobbyist or as a contractor. They actually really want to stop whatever it is these fringe religion and weirdos out in the who knows where are doing. It's quite odd to you. You've heard repeated references to a place called Innsmouth. They encountered a seditious cult in the 1920s, and they had to suppress it, and they've been paranoid about it ever since.
How did I hear about that if they're above my clearance level?
Well, you were briefed on some things about the special access program, that it began with Innsmouth in the 1920s, and the actions of it justify their existence. So yeah, I mean, you are a member of the special access program, so you do. You have been told that to expect weird things and not to worry about or question it too much.
All right, well, yeah. I will reply to this email, because I'm assuming this did not get sent out by a bot.
Yeah.
I am requesting airfare, hazard pay, and time off my current job.
You get a message back. You have a plane ticket waiting for you. Round trip, you will be cleared from your current duties. Your supervisor knows and will not ask you about your time. If they do ask, let me know. You will be given a travel stipend.
How much is the travel stipend?
It is, you look at it, it is very high for a travel stipend. It's not nice. Quite hazard pay, but it is something.
I'll take a travel stipend. Looking at the round ticket, how many days does it appear they expect me to be in the field?
Two.
I pack for three. I double check the flight details with the airline, and I'll head out.
Okay. So the next up, we have Jester. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Jester. I use they, them, or he, him sometimes. I don't have anything going on. I'm one of Maddie's, I'm a friend of the podcast, and this is my first time playing Delta Green, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Please tell us about your character.
My character is named Molly Preacher. She uses she, they pronouns. She is part of the Customs and Border Control with the Detection Canine Program. So has, a working dog with her at all times named Ambrose. She has a bachelor's in criminal justice and sort of stumbled her way into Customs and Border Control in a way, was kind of trying to figure out, sometimes you have a crisis and then decide, sure, this makes sense. This has a lot of structure to it. So ended up working in Customs and Border Control. Mm-hmm. That's really all I have.
Okay. So where are you when you get this message? It says the same thing, that you need to go to the nearest airport. There's a plane ticket waiting for you to go to Los Angeles to be briefed at 2 p.m. at the post office headquarters there for a special access program. And you've received information similar to what Lydia did about the special access program, that it covers weird, well, unusual things that must remain secret, threats to the country, national security. Do you have an occult rating?
The standard 10%.
Okay. Yeah. So like, you've been asked to, there are certain times you've been asked to have your dog look through certain packages, particularly for human remains. Someone was trying to smuggle human remains into the country, is what you were guessing. They specifically asked if your dog would be able to detect human skin if it was cured like leather.
I go, yeah, that's one of the, that's definitely a scent that he's been trained on.
Okay. So they did not find anything. They were so it was a small group of people who asked you to do that through the special access mm-hmm. program, and then you were told about this. And this is the first, and you've been told you may be sent out into the field. And this is apparently your first activation into the field. Your supervisor will clear you. You will be paid as normal at work. You will get a travel stipend. Where are you exactly when you get the message?
I'm probably at home for once. I do like travel around between different airports across. Generally, I'm posted up by the Canadian border because I speak French. So it's sort of, it's helpful for, you know, the one province in Canada that actually has French speaking people. I'm probably at home just doing some basic training things before bed with my dog Ambrose, because they do live with me. Mm-hmm. So just doing some general small sniffing training and stuff around the house, nothing too in-depth, but just something I do every single day because you have to work the dog every single day. And so I probably get a notification on my phone, I don't know what year it is.
It is 2017.
Okay, yeah, then that's fine. So I probably check my email on my phone. I'll triple check the email, like I'll read through it, mm-hmm. Make sure it's not just like a spam thing or something weird. And I'm like, okay, I don't think I have a ton of questions about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think Molly's the kind of person to question it too much. I'm just like, sure, okay, flights, taking a ton of flights with Ambrose, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Seems easy enough. Not really out of the ordinary so far. I mean, a little weird, but not like, I've been asked to do some weird things, so this is fine.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then finally, so yeah, you head on your way. And then finally we have Thad.
Yes, hello, it is me. I'm Thad. I can be hassled for in the present, I don't know about the future, on Twitter at at Thaddeus Strange. I'm dipping my toe into Mastodon to see how that that whole show goes. And otherwise, I can be found intermittently as a sort of podcast hobo around the RPPR Extended Universe, as well as co-host a movie chat podcast called Beneath the Screen of the Ultra Critics with my known associate Kara and my friend Jeremiah on the Fundamentals. And yeah, that's about what I got. And I am playing Theo Mulligan, who is works as an environmental scientist for the California Department of Public Health out of Sacramento. He's a biologist, PhD. I didn't think hard enough to come up with this, so now I feel foolish. Let's go with Stanford. Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, what time of day does the message go out?
Evening.
Evening? Okay, then I'm probably settling in at home. Theo is sort of very impressed by this program. Like, oh, wow, this is, because it's a bigger thing than he deals with in his day-to-day life, which is mm-hmm. largely about monitoring various chemical levels in places and seeing his recommendations go ignored by people with power. And so, yeah, this is he's very like, oh, it's very exciting. Reaches out, although he does have to like make a quick request to his neighbor, Becca, to look after his dog while he's out of town. He has a small little sort of mutt that seems to be somewhat cattle dog mm-hmm. named Grizzly. And he makes quick arrangements to have his dog looked after. And yeah, other than that, just like starts rushing around to get ready to go. It's oh, this is, things are happening. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The special access program, even though your state, you're with the state.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, California Department of
California. Health. Oh, California. Okay, sorry. And yeah, so it's a federal program, which is, yeah, but they specifically wanted you to look at to do some analysis of biological specimens that they sent. And very, very weird stuff, unusual properties, but you had to return them quickly, so you weren't able to do an initial analysis. But you were able, they asked very specific questions. You were able to tell them yes or no, it had this protein or it didn't have this protein, or it was doing this or it was doing that. And there have been a couple other times where you've been asked to do like analysis work. But this is the first time they sent you out in the field. They said, don't worry, your supervisor will not ask any questions about this when you return to work. And you will be paid. Yeah. So, so all of you travel. None of you have met each other. The next day, we are at a secure meeting room in the post office headquarters of Los Angeles. You were allowed into the building as visitors. You had an appointment with a Michael Kincaid. He is a tall, gaunt man, very nervous looking. He is clearly a fidgeter, but he sees all three of you and lets you in to the office, the meeting room. And he says, thank you for coming on such short notice, agents. I know this is a first time field activation for all three of you, but we have Lydia Key here with the State Department. This is Molly Preacher with Custom and Border Patrol, the K-9 program. And then Theo Mulligan here is a biologist with the California Health Department. An important mission, but it should be a good first time in the field for all of you, because this is a former member of the Special Access Program, Clyde Bauman, unfortunately passed away recently. We need to go and make sure that he didn't leave any classified documents or anything questionable in his possession. He went on multiple field operations. I will give you some information about him, but he was born March 28, 1945. His heirs are expected to return to arrive at his apartment in 48 hours. He was active in the Special Access Program from 1967 to 1970. Took part in 11 operations. With details are unavailable, unfortunately, due to a variety of circumstances. This is why we need you to go there and sanitize his apartment and any other thing that arises from that. Remove any evidence related to Delta Green's activities. Make sure everything is clean before the heirs show up. Involve no one else in this operation. We will meet again in 48 hours from now with a report. If you find signs that Bauman violated Delta Green security, please report them for further action. Here is a key to his apartment. There is the address. But this is all three of you have the security clearance to do this, and between all three of your varied expertises, you should be able to find out if he kept any souvenirs, contraband, or documents that he should not have. Are there any questions?
I'm a biologist by trade. Should we be worried about contaminants of some kind, or is that like an active concern?
You were here more because you were close. You all have the proper clearance for this. Mm. Time was the biggest factor, because we don't want his family, any surviving family, to know affiliation with the Special Access Program. Yes. Any other questions?
Which of us are you expecting to take point in this mission?
All three of you are peers. I am your supervisor, but I don't care how it gets done other than that.
Clearly.
Yeah. Just get to his apartment and look it over. If you find anything pointing to anything bad, we'll let me know and we can further act on it. But,
bad?
Well, we don't know what they were doing back in the 60s and 70s. A lot of documentation was burned.
A lot of drugs back then.
A lot of drugs, yes. A lot of bad habits. So, let's just make sure that it's fine.
So to clarify, you called in a border cop, mm-hmm. a local biologist, mm-hmm. and a member of the U.S. Department of State mm-hmm. to go scrub some MK Ultra leftovers apartment?
Well, if there are documents in foreign languages, which is possible, we would want to have a linguist there. Obviously, a border patrol with a dog would be able to find anything hidden. And a biologist, well, the biologist, you were close. Another set of eyes is always helpful. And if there is something like, you know, we don't know what to expect. That's the problem. And so it's better to send too many people and be overprepared than to be underprepared.
Right.
Because time is the biggest factor here.
Right. Dumb question mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. He didn't die at home, right? We're just double checking that we're not, I'm just double checking. I want to make sure we're not having to alert, you know, for human remains or whatnot.
He died of a heart attack at home.
Well, okay. Body's obviously taken.
Yes. It was reported. Okay. That's how we know about it. He died 4 days gotcha. Ago. So.
Gotcha. Nope, all good.
So, any other... Yes, sorry, I didn't clear that up. Anything else? Okay, great. You should have a rental cars, or did you Uber here? I assume at least one of you rented a car at the airport. Good. Yeah. Right, well, there you go. You have transportation. Great. It's in the city limits.
I don't think my rental car allows for... dogs.
It's a service well, animal. It'll be fine.
Yep. Great news. My dog's allowed to go anywhere I am. So it'll be fine. I'll be in the back. Won't be anywhere near you.
Look, if the worst thing you need to do is have the car vacuumed before you return it to the airport.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yes. All right. You have my contact information. I will be, I have other duties, but I will please let me know what you find.
Will do.
All right. You break out. You have his key to his apartment, his address. It's a not too far, probably like less than an hour's drive. I mean, given LA is still a big city. He is
and traffic.
And traffic. Declining working class neighborhood. Yeah, that much you know. So do you want to head straight there? Or are you going to, you have what your characters could bring on a plane? Which I imagine for Molly, because they are a law enforcement agent, they would actually be able to take a gun and the dog and all that other stuff that is listed in your character. Although probably the portable fire extinguisher and some other things are probably not with you.
I'd expect probably like, you know, my regular outfit is with me, so like your radio, whatever. But like,
you have the pistol. Things. You don't have the carbine. You don't have the rifle. Yeah, but you also have the dog. I would say you could bring the So anything you can fit in your luggage. But so do you just want to go to the apartment, or is there any place you want to stop before?
I mean, I'd like to drop my shit off in my hotel room before.
Okay, sure. You can swing by there. That doesn't take you too long. You all, Lydia gets to the hotel, drops her luggage off, and you find yourself in front of Bauman's apartment building. It's a jarring example of early 60s design, blocky and drab. No one's paying attention to the three of you. And you walk right in. The key works. And the interior of the apartment is, well, you had to describe in two words, it would be Spartan and grim. There is the lingering scent of cigarette smoke, which is the biggest evidence someone actually lived here. There's a ring of labeled keys, a couch, the old TV on the stack, on a coffee table or a stack of mostly completed crossword puzzle books, issues of, old magazines, some crumbling and dry donuts, powdered sugar. There's a kitchen. There is a slightly human touch on the refrigerator. There's a crudely drawn human figure entitled Grandpa, signed Cassie and bearing two gold stars. All of you can roll a search. If you have that as a skill.
All right. Well, one of the things I did bring with me was a box of nitrile gloves, because I didn't know what like environmental things I may be dealing with. So I'm like offering people gloves if they want them.
Yep.
Gloves.
Mm-hmm. I'll take some. I'll definitely get, I'll get Ambrose to start sniffing around. I expect probably a couple alarms that won't be relevant considering
Yeah, just, you're, you know. there's no like alarm by the door. There's no like
keypad. Oh, so by alarm I mean like dog sitting down a couple times when it, you know,
okay.
It's not relevant to what we're looking for.
Okay.
You do find 95 also, on search, I find nothing.
Okay.
I roll an 87, I find nothing.
You do find some things. Okay. It just depends on it's how fast you get through them.
I rolled a 48 and my search is 70, so
You look at you notice that the keys, there is a, the keys by the door include one to a cabin. There's actually labeled. So he has a cabin somewhere. There is a bunch of paperwork in the office, but between the three of you, you are able to, in a few hours of searching through all these papers, they're entirely mundane, except that you realize he does own a cabin in a rural area outside the city. Near one of the lakes. It's about a 4 hours drive by car. And the papers provide but thanks to Molly, you're able to find the address in only a couple hours of searching. There's a bed, there's high school graduation photos, family photos. It looks clean. But there is a cabin.
So I have a human intelligence score of 60. Is that going to be helpful to me at all while searching this apartment?
Well, that's more for reading people, but you would, okay. With your human of 60, you know, well, if I was a Delta Green agent, I would leave any weird incriminating shit at the isolated cabin, not in my apartment. That would be a safer place to hide contraband.
Yeah.
I mean, should we take the documentation of the cabin with us so that, like, the people who come in 48 hours don't come looking for it, or is that wrong?
I mean, it depends. If you have a key clearly labeled for a cabin and you have a family, including grandkids, you might have brought them to the cabin at some point. If you have a family, might be a family situation.
Still, are grandchildren listed on the thing we got? I don't
know, but there's a drawing on the fridge.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't write kid. It said it was for grandpa, so I'd assume grandkid.
I guess. I just wasn't on the document that just said wife, son, and daughter.
Well, maybe it's out of date.
That's good. Yeah.
I mean, it's just not to be harsh to our, you know, as a federal employee, but I think a lot of things are usually out of date. So
that's not harsh. That's honest.
All right.
You know, drawing's young enough. It's probably only a couple years out of date.
So by this time, it's about 6 p.m. I'm going to say it's January. So, I mean, it's Los Angeles. It's not too cold, but, like, it's still getting dark.
Do we have an idea how far away the cabin is?
It is a four-hour drive.
Mm-hmm. I guess the answer is we want to do a long night or not.
I would like to point something out as the person who has a rental car. We were told to scrub the apartment.
Of any thing, but I haven't gotten any alerts from Ambrose. There's no weird biological or, you know, specimens or anything like that. The only paperwork we found is listing a cabin. It doesn't seem like there's anything here to scrub.
So we fulfilled the letter of our contract.
I would say no.
Well, I mean, it isn't that what, like, the cabin kind of needs to be looked at to know if there's stuff to scrub there, right?
Yeah, because the implication was that he's probably keeping the stuff at his apartment. We need to make sure he doesn't have anything relating to Delta Green. So if there's cabin...
I'm going to shoot an email to our source, our handler, update Kincaid on what we found. And mention to him that what we were told to do is scrub the apartment. And if they are asking us to scrub the cabin now, because implication is one thing, working in the federal government and going above and beyond means you're going to get more work. I am confirming, and I am making myself a bureaucratic pain in the ass.
Sure. Yeah, Kincaid responds almost instantly. He says, you must verify the cabin is clear.
Very well. I would like an increase to my travel stipend, please.
This is a matter of national security. Any field mission is a matter of national security.
I would like an increase to my travel stipend, please.
You're still within parameters. Roll bureaucracy.
Okay. So my bureaucracy is 50 and I got a 35.
Okay. He says, I can find additional room in the budget for you.
Thank you.
All right. So yeah, but, you should leave tonight or as soon as possible.
There, if there is additional room in the budget for me, I will leave whenever.
Okay. Well, it's about 6:30 now.
I mean, if that's the case, we should probably stop by somewhere on the way to get like flashlights and other stuff if it's going to be. If we're going to have to look at, if we're going to have to check out a rural property.
Might also be worth eating on the way.
Sure.
Yeah. If we're going to stay up all night, you know, get coffee or something.
There is one restriction. You are letting me pick the restaurant.
Okay. Yeah. If you eat before you leave Los Angeles, there's obviously
that's
1,000 options for you.
That's fine. We can always stop somewhere.
Okay. So you find a place in Los Angeles. There are what do you all settle on
up to Lydia.
All right, Lydia, what cuisine are you dining on tonight?
Seafood. And we're getting oysters because it's happy hour. It's just at the end of happy hour.
All right. You managed to get some oysters.
We are going to Rappahannock Oysters because they import Chesapeake Bay oysters, and that is the closest thing we are getting to my home right now.
Not a big oyster fan, but I'll find something to eat.
Yeah.
They have seafood. It's fine.
Yeah.
So after a hearty meal of seafood and oysters, you get back in the car and plug in the coordinates. And follow directions to take you to the cabin. So you leave the lights, the bright lights of the big city, hit the highway, and drive out. And, you know, it gets fewer and fewer buildings in sight. And it's not difficult to reach, but once you get off the main road, you start getting onto gravel roads and like winding country roads. You're near a lake that is not too far away. But by 11, a little bit like 11:30, we'll say you're in front of his cabin. It's quite dark. It is quite wooded around. There's a lake in the distance. And it is a one-story cabin. There is behind the building, you can see an outhouse and a shed.
Outhouse.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But like locally isolated, not like neighbors in sight in any capacity or?
Not now. It's a pretty dark night. There are lights along the shore of the lake off in the distance. So this is not like, it's January. There's not a huge number of tourists or anything.
Yes, you mentioned getting flashlights. I have a tactical light, but do other people have sources of light?
I would assume, you could have stopped at a general store. Or a Walmart,
stop at a truck stop and get a giant light or something.
Yeah. I have a pen light.
Okay, you all have at least a flashlight. You also have your phones.
Yeah.
You do not get a signal out here, weirdly enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, weird.
So, there are the three buildings, the main cabin, an outhouse, and a shed that you can see right now.
How rough is this cabin?
You can see a power line going to it, so it's got power. I mean, or it should have power, at least. But
is that the nicest thing that can be said about it?
I mean, if it has an outhouse, there's a question of, is that aesthetic, or is that the only place to shit?
They probably the second one.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not fancy, for sure. It also, you know, the little path leading up to the front door is like got dirt and leaves on it. It's obviously no one's been here for a while. It looks like
probably doesn't come here with family then.
I mean, if they have, it's been a while, or they, yeah. So
could be a summer cabin.
I'm going to let the border cop take the lead into the, because she has a dog and a gun.
Okay.
It makes sense. We're all working together.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're all one big happy family.
Well, you know, the more rural you are, generally speaking, people don't like to see government agents of whatever stripe. So, yeah, I'm fine following that.
Yep, no, that's fine. I'll put on my tactical light. I'll walk up to the door and I'll knock on the door first, I guess.
Nothing.
Yeah. Worth checking. We have the key to the cabin, right?
Yep.
We took it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll open the door and, you know, slowly start making my way in. Watching what Ambrose does, see if he has any reactions, you know.
Give me an alertness check.
All of us?
Check.
Well, right now just Molly, because she's the one that
Yeah, I have an alertness of 70.
Okay.
29.
Okay. It's very quiet. There's you pick up, there's a thin, pretty actually thick layer of dust on everything. So you guess no one's been inside this building for months at a minimum.
There's
more than a few cobwebs. There's secondhand furniture, rustic decor. But there are two things that draw your attention. There's one thing that draws your attention pretty obviously. There is a big footlocker in the cabin. Yeah, there's a one-story high cabin. It has a bedroom, a bathroom, and a living room. There's a couple closets and a kitchen. So,
all right, you said it has a bathroom?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Mhm.
That's just interesting. Okay. I'm going to get Ambrose to sniff around the locker, see if there's anything inside that
he'd
be trained on.
So there's a big foot locker, and it's a metal, it's rusted. You know from your law enforcement sort of like dealing with people that this is sort of like a Vietnam era metal locker. Yeah. So, you know, 70s. Your dog is definitely very interested in it.
Probably sat down, so alerting, maybe?
Yeah, he is definitely alerting. He would pick up blood, wouldn't he? Dried blood. Yeah. There you open up the box, there's a lot in it. But your dog immediately zeroes in on a cardboard box. Does he have different kind of alerts for different types of things?
Yeah, I would say it's more general. So like if it's like illegal substances, probably a slightly different alert. If it's like a contraband item that he's been trained on, a different alert. You know, explosives, an important one to alert on. But anything that's like biological, so like human or animal or something definitely like that, probably a specific alert.
Biological, definitely.
Yeah.
On the cardboard box.
Well, then.
But there's a lot of other things in the box, too.
I'll call Lydia and Theo over. I'll be.
Okay.
There's a. Well, there's something that was living at some point in a box, and it seems like there's a lot of other things. This guy worked for Delta Green in what, 60s and 70s, they said? Locker looks to be around that era.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, you have the footlocker. There is also, you notice, a envelope, a sealed envelope with a triangle in green ink on it.
Yeah, I have anthropology. Will that help me identify the triangle? Other than, Delta Green.
That is a Delta Green like triangle. That is definitely the exact kind on that.
Theo, you're at the health department, right? Some sort of scientific, do you want to take a look in the mysterious box?
Sure. Yeah, I put on like a little face mask and gloves, and I guess I will start pawing through the box.
Okay. The envelope, is someone going to open that and read that or look at that?
That's mine. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I do, yeah, just hand it off to Lydia.
So you all start looking through the stuff. The cardboard box contains a neatly folded but very bloody business suit. Like absolutely saturated dried blood. That is
why would you keep this?
Sentimental value?
Well, yeah, there's no sand loss or anything for that. It's just like, oh, that's weird.
That is weird, right? I'm not wrong about thinking that's weird.
That's weird.
I work at the border, so you have to understand whatever you think is weird, like triple it. I've seen some weird shit.
Yes, I'm sure the Canadians.
There is a leather pouch. There's some things in it. Theo,
there's nothing in, aside from being soiled, there's no like nothing in the pockets of the suit or anything. Just
no, there is a actually there is a label on it, SA. They're like a what do you call it when you put your initials on something?
Monogram.
Monogram kind of label in the interior of the suit. So whoever owned that suit was SA.
So I'm not Clyde's, not or he, either it's not Clyde's, or he had like a fake name that he used.
The leather pouch, Theo, contains hair. As a biologist, you recognize that as like black bear. It also contains teeth that look like infant human teeth. Feathers, blue jays and barn swallows. And then there is, a glass sphere, and there are some bullets sticking to it. Then you kind of, as you touch it, it kind of like clinks on, to your, wristwatch, or your Fitbit or whatever you have.
So, a magnetic glass
sphere. Wait, yes.
Bullets wouldn't be magnetic, would they? What?
Well, you look at the... Do you have firearms trained?
I mean, I have it at base, so 20.
Yeah. Yeah, these bullets look weird. Like, they're not usual. Yeah.
I have firearms training, so I can take a peek at them.
I have 50.
These bullets look they're custom made. They look like they're made with iron.
I mean, this definitely seems like weird shit that this organization would want to get handled.
But probably the letter, Lydia, you read it. To whom it may concern, if you're reading this note, I can assume I have died or have become incapacitated before I had the courage to complete my final mission. You will find about 20 gallons of gas in the shed behind the cabin. Pour it into the septic tank besides the cabin and ignite it. You'd be happier if you didn't look inside. Please make sure that the remains are kept hidden from my children. I am so sorry. God, please forgive me.
Can we tell? I mean, there's no date on it. Is there any indication of how long ago he wrote this note?
What's your forensic at? Do you have forensics at a high, like...
I got it at 40.
Yeah, give me a roll of forensics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
09.
Okay. Actually, probably within the last year.
Okay, so this is pretty recent.
No, it would have actually... Pretty old. Pretty old. Oh. It is.
So he just sort of...
Years old, yeah.
So he just sort of wrote this, boxed everything up, and just let... the future deal with it, I guess?
Yeah.
The teeth, is there any, like, do they look...
I guess like I should take a closer
recently?
Look at the...
Because my question is, why does he have baby teeth? And also, I don't know, it just feels weird. I know parents keep them, but in a pouch with that seems weird. And I also, I don't know, I'm just... It feels weird in conjunction with the fact that he had presumably a grandkid with that drawing on the fridge. But
so I'm not a cop, and I turn to our customs agent.
Yeah.
I am not a cop. I've watched enough Law and Order to know how the genre works. If we have teeth in a bag, we have the drawing from the kid, and don't look in the septic tank. What's the possibility of the kid's in the septic tank?
The issue is, I mean, there's definitely some sort of remains. He's indicated that. My concern is, what did the note say? Don't tell my family? What was it?
Yeah, don't tell my... please make sure that the remains are kept from my children, specifically.
So, you know, accidental child death, out in the middle of the woods. It's pretty likely. That's not really my area of expertise, but I've also watched enough programs to be like, yeah, there's probably something about a dead kid. would be my guess. But the question is, why is that related to Delta Green?
Yeah, because I mean, the note is specifically for people who came from the program, right? Like and then, the, I mean, and I assume that's why the envelope is marked that way.
I mean, they go after
the bloody suit.
They go after cults, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I have been asked to look.
I mean, are we supposed? Are we supposed to investigate, or are we supposed to get rid of things? Like, what are we supposed to do? Because all I've heard is clean, and that sounds.
You could drive out and get a signal and get more further guidance if you want.
Well, yeah. What was the exact wording of Agent Kincaid's?
I believe it was like, you know, eliminate all exposure. You know, this is a top.
Do not retrieve.
Program. Yeah. Sanitize, yeah.
I mean, cabins burn down all the time, electrical shortage, but if he murdered a kid, that feels like a lot. That feels like above what I would want to...
Would you say it feels above top secret?
I guess our job's to, if he wants it to be burned, then that would be the quickest way to get back to the hotel, but that doesn't feel great.
Yeah, it doesn't.
A cop has a conscience?
By the way, do any of you, have the physics skill, science physics?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, I just have biology, genetics, and chemistry.
Okay. No, I got veterinary science.
Actually, give me chemistry at half.
Okay.
I get criminology.
25. 22 out of 25. Crit success.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, ordinary glass can't be magnetized like that. You take some change out and put it on the sphere and it just clings to it. This is a very strong magnet.
I'm putting that thing in a plastic bag.
This breaks the laws of physics as you understand them.
Is the glass sphere like completely clear? Like, can you see all the way through it?
Yeah. It is glass. Like, this is magnetic glass. Like,
yeah, I just wanted to check if it was see-through glass or not, because not all glass is like folding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna bag that up. Actually, what happens if I bag it up and then touch something metal to the outside of the bag, like another coin?
It'll magnetize through plastic, yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, so that's
it's behaving like an actual magnet, yeah.
Okay. So I can things glass. That are stuck to it. So things that are stuck to it can be removed, or they can't.
Yeah, they can be. It's like a strong magnet, not a impossible.
Okay,
magnet,
but gotcha, like, gotcha. Yeah. That's still unsettling, and I'm gonna bag that up and put that out of my direct line of sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. And on the conscious thing, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't really go around and like.
Should we send someone out to contact the Kincaid and see how much we want to know or why? Because this sphere is freaking me out.
Let me handle him.
Okay.
Nope, that sounds, you already have the email open, so it makes sense.
I guess I'll keep going through whatever other paperwork and stuff is in here that I guess we're just intended to. I mean, do we want to keep? I don't know. I'm just going to keep looking through the footlocker, I guess.
Just go through it. I'm going to double check if there's any other odd places inside or outside the cabin that Ambrose is going to alert to. Presumably everything would be in this weird footlocker, but there could be, you know, odds and ends.
There's some files. Sorry. There were, like I said, the entire thing is packed up. There are some files and documents you can look
at. I mean, theoretically, there's about 20 gallons of gas in the shed. Unless that's been removed. True.
But I just mean, if we're going to destroy everything too, we might want to put it all in one place. So I want to make sure it is all in one place.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So Lydia, you take the car, you start driving out, watching your phone to get a signal. Meanwhile, the two of you are looking over the footlocker and searching the rest of the cabin to make sure you didn't miss anything. You do find the files are about a corporation called Venta. Venta, which was a Argentinian export-import firm from 1965 to 1968. And the file begins with an FBI investigation into allegations of weapon smuggling in Miami. And then mm-hmm. the investigation just kind of ends, or you're missing those files. Bowman apparently uncovered financial ties between Venta and something on a World War II watch list, financial watch list called the K Group. There's a mention of a raid on a warehouse in San Juan, Puerto Rico. There is something underlined called the Shield Formula. The Manila folder with that title is empty. This takes you some time to read, but in the meantime, you could tell Ambrose is alerting on something or is looking out the window, very agitated about something outside.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do the window open at all or no?
Yeah, yeah. It
open the window, shine my flashlight out.
Yeah, you see a about 10 meters from the house, near the edge of the woods, there is a hatch buried in the ground in a shallow pit. And now that you have the window open, you can hear a sound very faintly, with like a ting, ting, ting.
Is it coming from the hatch?
It seems to be that way, yeah.
Theo,
mm-hmm.
There might be a bunker or something here.
I mean, that's possible, right?
I don't. It feels weird.
Both of you recognize. It's such a simple pattern. It's impossible for you not to recognize it. The strikes are in a rhythmic pattern. In you know. Long dash, long dash, long dash, short, short, short. S-L-S-O-S.
Yep. Okay.
And I actually have a SIGINT score?
Yeah.
Well, God damn it.
Meanwhile, Lydia, this is taking you about 30, 40 minutes of driving. We finally get a couple bars. What are you texting to Kincaid?
I am taking a picture of the letter, sending it to him, explaining what we found in the footlocker with two words, please advise.
Follow instructions. Burn everything.
All right. Head back to the house.
All right. So you start heading back. Meanwhile, there's someone SOSing from inside that hatch.
Now, okay. This is a fire wouldn't reach a bunker.
I mean,
if it's metal, well, it's a metal hatch. I assume the bunker is like.
I guess not. I don't. It would. You probably not. I mean, it was saying we should set it.
I just mean like this is clearly there's no other houses around. This belongs to this cabin.
I mean, it wanted us to pour it into the septic tank. We don't know what else could be underground. Oh.
The septic tank would probably. Why? Also, just why have an outhouse if you still have if you have an indoor bathroom?
Like, I mean, we gotta check that hatch, right? Like that's what we have to do.
Yeah, my concern is I don't want to. We go underground. I can't exactly bring Ambrose.
I'm not saying open. Like we have all the time in the world right now. I'll just go over there. I'll take a look at the hatch, see if I can tell how long it's been, if it's like locked from the outside.
Leave the magnetic orb maybe in the cabin.
I'm not carrying that on me. Oh no, yeah, that is, yeah. I have like.
I heard about that like sticking to it and it being like a lock mechanism or something. Yeah, I'm a little paranoid about this.
I have that set like a little ways away from me in a bag.
Got it. Yeah, let's go to the hatch. I'll
okay.
We'll sniff around it.
All right, you go over to the hatch, and it is a metal hatch in the ground. It looks like you can see part of the thing it is connected to. It looks like it's connected. It's a septic tank, a very large septic tank.
Oh,
that is mostly buried in the ground.
Okay. Question is it locked?
Question for someone who deals with. Maybe more science than I do on a daily basis. How long would you be able to survive in a septic tank?
Well, I mean, you can survive in lots of places, just not especially comfortably. But, I mean, they're not really meant for habitation.
But are they, like, they're not airtight, right?
I don't know off the top of my head. I would assume.
You hear a muffled voice coming from inside that. Help me! Oh, God, help! Just screaming through the metal. Both of you. Yeah, this is not great, especially for you, Molly. This sounds like a woman who is in a lot of pain and very afraid.
I mean, I want to open this, but that seems.
Please bad. Help me! He did this to me.
I'm gonna examine the hatch itself. See, like, is it locked? Is it
no? Like, it's sealed.
It's not locked.
I mean,
and not on the outside. You can open it.
If I can, that's well, suspicious. I'll open it.
There's like, there's someone in there.
Does
well,
it
sounds seem... like the metal banging is coming from the side of the tank, not the hatch itself.
Oh.
There's someone in there. There hasn't been people here for a while. This doesn't make any sense, but we have to open that. I'm going to try to open it. We have to.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to stop you, but he seems reticent, like, to know what to do. Yeah. I mean,
all right, so are you going to open it?
It's not a... Molly is... You know, there's weird things going on, but as far as I know, there's someone screaming for help.
You open the hatch. There, you know, there's a hiss of air. There's you smell not much of a stench actually, but there is one. And you hear a woman say, "Help, help! Oh, thank God, someone found me. Because Clyde did something to me. I feel bad." How long has it been?
I don't know. What's the last day you remember?
I don't know. See, my name is Marlene. Clyde, he said something over me, some sort of chant. He said he was going to make me his slave forever.
Wait, Marlene, his wife,
your ex-wife?
Yes, I was. He wanted. To make me a slave forever, and
Theo, I'm just gonna say this.
I can't. I feel different.
She died in 2002.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Is that a death date or a marriage date?
Yeah, I would assume. I guess I'm assuming it's at this point.
That is her death date.
Yeah, because everyone else is marked with like a date of birth.
Lydia, you're pulling up now. You can see some flashlights out.
We have 48. They didn't get married at 3 years old, so
yeah. That's 15. She's been dead for 15 years.
Please, he did something to me. Please let me out. I lost track of all time.
We're figuring out how to get you out. I promise.
All right, so Lydia, you can hear these voices talking as you get out of the car. You're not too far from it. Yeah, and they you two hear the car pull up. Please, just reach in, help me out. I'm so
waving a flashlight frantically in Key's direction.
Yeah, the second we see headlights, like yep. Marlene, we'll get you out in a minute. We just have to figure out how. Okay, we're just gonna make sure that we have stuff ready out here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Please
mm-hmm.
help me.
Just a little longer.
Okay. Great. I'm gonna head over.
Okay. You can hear a woman's voice coming from the hatch at this point, begging for help.
I start hightailing it over once I hear that. What the hell is going on?
That is apparently his 15-year-long dead wife screaming for help in down in a under a hatch in the yard. And
he said he'd be happier if we didn't look inside.
Pull the other one. What the fuck is going on?
She says she's Marlene, and as far as we know, she has been dead for 15 years. And that is the voice you are hearing yelling from the hatch that we were told to burn by a note from a dead guy. So that is where I'm at. What did you get?
Yeah. Now what's your...
Follow instructions. That's what there's, it's
but dead. she's in there. What if she didn't? What if he faked her death? What if he's been keeping her out here?
I shine my flashlight into the hatch.
All right. You see a woman down there. She looks like a small, somewhat misshapen nude woman in her 50s. Her hair is gray blue. She has torn out some of her hair. Her hands are bloodstained. Her feet and lower legs are swollen. There is a low level of water in the septic tank. And yet she looks at you. She's like, oh, please. I've been so alone. I can hear things down here. Things whisper to me. It's so scary.
Mission parameters did not state anything about killing anyone, and I am sticking to that.
Yeah, let's get her out of there.
Is there any rope or anything in the cabin?
Yeah.
I will go get some rope.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see here, actually. Hold on. Yeah, seeing her was fairly disturbing, but you're holding on. It's a shock, but, you know, no one's lost anything. Yeah, you find the rope.
Right. Marlene?
Yes?
We're going to be dropping this rope for you, okay?
Okay.
You need to grab onto it, and we'll pull you out. Just don't try and strain yourself, all right?
Okay. Okay. So you lower the rope in.
Yeah, so you should all probably try to pull up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if we can tie a loop at the end so she can brace her foot against it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you pull her up, and so you're, I guess, the one lowering the rope, Lydia. She goes up the rope actually very quickly.
I as we're doing that, I'm gonna go try to find a blanket or something in the cabin, okay, so I can wrap something around her.
Yes, I'll just help pull up the rope.
Oh, thank you so much. She sort of stands here. Oh, thank you. I never thought I would get out.
I'm not really a medical doctor, but I could look her over if if there's any.
Yes, please, doctor.
I only have first aid at 10, but I do have biology at 60, so I don't know.
I also have first aid at 30, so I can help out.
Yeah, I have first aid at 30, and I got veterinary science. So I'm gonna help.
Well, you're
I'm getting a blanket. Yeah,
So Molly's getting the blanket.
Lydia's 7
on what? First aid?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, she's dead. That's a corpse. That's a corpse standing there. So Theo,
mm-hmm,
give me an alertness check.
Oh, man, you don't want to ask me that. That's not a good score for me. Yeah. Well, you do want to ask me that.
All right.
Sorry. 88, okay, which is a critical failure.
It is a critical failure. You go in to start looking at her wounds to try and treat her. And that's when she... You realize you're sort of looking at her. Her hand comes up and just grabs you by the throat, mm-hmm, so quickly you don't realize it's happened. Mm-hmm. That inflicts quite a bit of that hurts. Your throat has been torn. You're still alive, but savaged your throat.
I would really like to yell, but I feel like I can't at the moment.
And the thing that is Marlene, starts licking the blood off of her claws and looks at
you. They have unarmed combat.
Yeah.
At 40. I would like to attack the fuck out of that.
Yeah, go ahead. Make a roll on unarmed combat.
You're not going to believe this, but aught 8.
Okay.
Right after an aught 7.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, man. Would I hear anything from the cabin?
Not from me. Yeah,
you know, if you want to yell, I have a gun. If anyone wants to yell.
You strike her, Lydia. Where do you strike her? Yeah, describe how you're hitting her.
So I am doing the very basic self-defense thing, which is I'm going to hit her on the jaw with the bottom of my palm and knock her head back so that I can then either get my thumbs in her eyes or get her to the ground.
You hit her in the jaw and it's like hitting a lamppost. It just does not give way at all. It's like hitting a solid object. You inflict nothing on her. Her skin is essentially armored. In fact, you cannot harm her with the amount of with unarmed combat because.
Great.
Yeah. She just looks at you doing that. The Ambrose starts barking like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna immediately get back outside.
Now we're going to be in proper combat. We do this in order of dex. Highest dex goes first. I have all of your sheets, and all of you have a dex. It goes first. It has, the thing has a dex of 17. It is going to lash out at, Lydia.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and so this is going to be an opposed check. You can either fight back with unarmed, or you can dodge. Either one, though, will take up your action for this turn. Dodge, you can maneuver away. Let's see here. Actually, it rolled a 78, so it actually missed.
Yep, I rolled an 83.
Okay,
so we're just kind of flailing at each other right now.
Actually, if you both fail, then the lowest roll still goes, succeeds.
No.
Yeah, she still hits you. And that only inflicts, let's see here. She strikes you, lashes out you. You feel your ribs, right in the left of you, left side of your chest. You feel your ribs just, oh God, you don't know if your ribs are bruised or.
I'm assuming there's also some like violence based sand loss,
yeah.
At present.
Yeah. Let's see here. We'll just go ahead and make that.
Not to try and hose us further, but isn't that the point?
Yeah.
At this point, it's fight, flight, or freeze for you. As you realize you're fighting a dead person with incredible strength that really wants to murder
flight.
You. Yeah. Flight. All right. Yeah. Molly, you're still holding on, although this is a real life or death situation. Your heart is pounding. Uh-huh. But you can. You still have your control. And Theo. Fight, flight, or freeze.
That's flight for me.
Yeah. All right. So that was its action. Theo is next. You're running.
I'm trying to staunch my neck and get away.
Okay. Do you have athletic strain, or you can make it dex times five?
So I guess dex times five. Substantially better, but 44. So that is under my dex times five, and apparently I can critically fail and succeed a few times today. It's surprising.
So you critically succeeded?
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, you run fast enough that you get behind the one of the buildings, either the outhouse, shed, or cabin. I'll let you choose. And it's
I go over the shed.
All right, it's dark, and it doesn't see where you went, so it's lost track of you. But Molly, Lydia, you already acted, and now Molly, you can act.
I'm gonna try to get close enough to shoot.
Oh, you can shoot it. It's definitely in standard range right now. You're trained law enforcement, so you have like the flashlight in one hand, the gun in the other. That's just like instinct. That's like a reflex.
My pistol is 50 and I rolled a 31.
Okay. So you hit it. Now go ahead and roll a d10 for damage for a pistol.
Eight.
All right. That actually impacts.
Yeah. I'm going to try to. Yeah. I tried to get like just within range, but far enough that like the. Marlene charging me. I don't want to be close.
What you did was a center mass like kill shot. Like you struck it square in the chest. You see bits of flesh and bone fly out of it. It actually does stagger back a bit. It's kind of shook for a moment. And it kind of like is stunned to know that bullets still work on it. So it's a new round, and it is going to try and charge Molly. Yeah. Actually, the dog is going to attack it.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. So I will let you use your dog training skill to represent how well your dog can attack. So go ahead and roll that.
That's 60, so that should be...
Mm-hmm.
That is... What is that? 13?
13, yeah, that would hit. So your dog, I would say, actually does.
Gonna say unarmed, probably.
Yeah. Well, the dog will definitely do more damage than an unarmed punch. Unarmed does. Yeah. Human unarmed does like
1d4 minus one. It says.
Yeah. Trend. Yeah. So.
Dog bites hurt.
Yeah. Dog, teeth dog, do more.
Yeah. So your dog actually hurts it as well. And you realize that may be really bad. For the dog very soon. So
I'm gonna try to draw attention to myself.
Yeah. Let's see. It is going to attack the dog.
That makes sense.
All right. And I'll let you use your dog training skill again to represent the dog staying out of
space. Mm-hmm. 22.
Damn. All right. Yeah. The dog expertly gets out of the way and easily evades it. So you realize though if it hits Ambrose
is gone if it hits it. Yeah,
dead or dying, like, and you don't know which is worse. It is not gonna
can I yell or speak in any way?
Yeah.
Is going on? I'm gonna yell, note said fire, someone, anyone? Ethelene.
So Theo, you're next, and then Lydia, and then Molly.
I mean, am I still like panicked, or did I get far enough away to?
I would say with that crit, you can treat yourself. You would not want to bleed. So if you have first aid, you can try and staunch that bleeding.
I have 10. I have base at first aid, so that's not
okay. Well,
that's not much. Honestly, I ran like I was. The reason I was asking is, am I with it enough to like get in the shed and see what else there is in there other than hopefully gasoline and maybe something that I can use as a weapon?
Yeah, I would say this round you will actually go ahead and roll under your power, like power times five. See if you can calm yourself.
That's fine. I'm gonna pay for those successes now, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's how it works.
No, I got 56 under 60. So
okay, you're still trying. You're ineffectually trying to heal, like stop the bleeding, because like you're not. It's not a fatal wound, but you're panicking, thinking it is a fatal wound. So you're like,
gotcha.
Oh god, you're just you're bleeding, and you're not doing much. So Lydia, it's attacking. It's focused, distracted by the dog right now. It's been shot.
I do lots actually happened. Have a gun.
Okay.
And I do have some proficiency with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to attempt to shoot it because I am close enough to do that.
You are, definitely. In fact, you get a plus 20 bonus because you're at point blank range.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It may decide not to be distracted by a dog after you shoot at it, but yeah.
So I just tied with the plus 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be 60.
Okay.
And 60.
Yeah.
So I know zombie lore at all. Plink her in the head.
Okay. Roll damage.
Six.
All right. You strike it in the head. The bullet glances off. You can see a bit of exposed skull. And you can see like something growing in to fill in the gaps already.
God damn it.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
That feels unnatural.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to get some sand loss from that.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to make it separate sand losses for that. Just for you've already encountered.
It's already upsetting enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But you have worried it. And then finally, Molly, you can get another shot off.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
15.
All right. Roll damage.
8 again.
All right. So new round. It is going to run. into the woods. And it disappears into the woods. Yeah, it's very fast. It's not super, it's fast, but you can still see it or see the motion of it, especially with your flashlight. So if you chase it now, you can keep it in sight. That's what it does. Ambrose goes off after it.
I mean, I'd call Ambrose off, but like the thing is that I feel like I want to chase it. So I'm going to get Ambrose to try to stay closer to me, but.
All right, give me a dog training check.
Yeah. Okay. That's 2.
Okay. Yeah. Ambrose holds back. Yeah. So he stays with you or stays with, you know.
Yeah. I want to give chase, but I want to have like Ambrose guiding me closer than that. Cause I mean, this seems really dangerous and I don't want them to just get away and hurt other people.
Theo. Yeah, go and just give me a first aid check. You're gonna do this whether you like it. Well,
yeah. 32 out of 10.
Okay. It hurts. Your first aid treatment. You.
Basically, I'm probably just like ripping some cloth and like wrapping it around my neck badly.
Yeah. You feel like you've done enough this round. So next round, you'll be able to start looking in the shed and inventorying its contents. Your eyes will focus again. Lydia.
I also have first aid that is above base, so I'm going to try to assist Theo.
Okay.
Oh, I'm back away from everyone.
He's Theo's in the shed behind.
Yep.
You're
outside. I can go run to assist Theo. Right. That's fine.
Okay. So you saw where Theo went. You run up to him. You can give me a first aid check.
Well, I fail.
Okay. But Theo, you know, now that your comrade's helping you, your colleague's helping you, you can
break at least not bleeding as badly.
Yeah. Molly, you head into the woods, following Ambrose. This is going to be an alertness check. Yeah.
It's not a smart decision, but it's the one I would make.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 14.
Okay.
And I have 70 alertness, so.
Ooh.
I like that noise.
You do well. Unfortunately, it does get an 11 to sneak up on you.
Yep. Not that makes sense.
You realize Ambrose zeroes in on a bit of blood that it left behind.
Yeah.
And only for you to see it coming at you. Too late for you to, you know, it will get an attack off on you.
Yep, that's fine.
And it gets an 87. It misses.
do I have to roll against it or no?
No, it just swung over. You didn't get a chance to defend against it at all. It blindsided you. It just overextended. The claws swipe over your head, you know, and it's on you. So
point blank.
You are. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
So is there a bonus for shooting it point blank or?
Yes.
Okay. So
plus 20, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Plus 20. Okay. So roll under 70 then now.
Mm-hmm.
3.
Okay. It couldn't dodge because he's right up on you, so go ahead and roll damage.
6.
6, okay. You heard it.
Yeah.
Ambrose, go ahead and
roll. Ambrose should attack it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll roll under dog training.
Mm-hmm.
36.
Okay. Unfortunately, Ambrose is unable to pierce the armor of the thing at this point.
That's fine.
But new round. It is going to attack, and then we'll go back to Theo and Lydia. And it is obviously going to try and take your head off. And this time it does succeed. You can try and fight back or dodge. It did roll a 68, so you would need to either beat that or an opposed check or roll a critical. Or you can just take the damage.
Okay, so sorry, what are my options?
It rolled a 68, so the way the mechanics work, you have to beat it on a dodge or an unarmed combat check.
You have to succeed and roll higher than their success.
Or get a critical, which is, you know, 11 to 22.
Okay.
So, unless you have something... Yeah. It got a 68.
I guess,
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I might as well roll.
Then will give up your ability to shoot. Like that, you only get one action.
Okay. I haven't been hurt yet, so I might as well take it.
Yeah.
I guess. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly ideal, but I haven't been hurt yet, and I might be able to kill it.
Yeah, it hurts quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
You are actually going to be stunned. It did enough damage to do that. The claws tear into you, rip. You can feel. It cuts into your muscles. There's blood everywhere. Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, you make that actually. So yeah, not doing great, but you're still functional. But you will lose your next action. You will. As you just took too much damage.
Would Ambrose still attack?
Ambrose can still attack, so...
Yeah. That is a 1.
Oh, that's a critical. So, in that case, he... Because ones are criticals, hundreds are failures.
Gotcha.
So, it hurts. It bites onto the... Ambrose leaps to your defense and bites it in the wrist and worries off a huge chunk of it. And it screams in pain or in anger, in rage, in an inhuman voice. It is, as you're on the ground scrabbling to get back up. Actually, roll a percentile and tell me if you get 50 or less.
Exactly 50.
All right, you do not drop your gun in the dark. That was a luck check. So, so meanwhile, Theo... and Lydia, you can see flashlight light dancing and a gunshot off in the woods not too far away.
Okay, what's in the shed? Need supplies.
There are
things.
4 jerry cans. Each one appears, 5-gallon jerry cans. There's 4 of them. And each one seems to be filled to the brim with gas. There's also an assortment of tools that you would picture for, carpentry and lawn care and stuff like that. So
is there anything to light a fire with?
A gunshot light a fire?
there is a box of matches.
Great. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, good, great, wonderful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to take 2 jerry cans.
I'm going to take 1 because I'm a wuss and guess grab that and box of matches and fucking book it towards the fight because
right,
in the woods, which is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Both of you give me athletics checks to see how quickly you
can. my mighty 30 of athletics. Let's see what we got. That is a 75.
I have 50, but it's not helping me now.
Nope. Did you also fail?
51.
51? Okay. You're still making... You didn't critically fail, so you don't trip. And so you're getting there.
We're just not fast.
You're not fast. You won't be able to act... It'll take you all the next round to get there.
Office jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. So new round. It is extremely angry, again, at being shot. It's also very hungry, it is going to go after, actually, I'll say odds it'll go after you. It is going to go after you, instead of Ambrose, so, because you have the gun, and it is intelligent.
I do have a gun.
Yep. It is going to hit you again, with a 40, so you can use unarmed or dodge to try and beat that.
I mean, I need to try to dodge. So I'm trying to roll under a 40, above?
You're trying to beat, you're trying to get, what skill are you using?
I mean, unarmed combat is 60, so that feels
so
like...
So you want unarmed combat, and you either want a critical, or you want a 41 to a 60. That will accomplish what you
want. Yeah, highest without going over.
Yeah.
Gotcha. What is that? No, I don't get it. I get a 36.
Okay. 36. Okay. Let's see here. All right. It lashes out again. This time, striking you in the arm. You can feel your bones pump, just snap under the force of the blow as it knocks your gun away. And you pass out from the pain. And you can roll for Ambrose again.
42.
All right. Ambrose is a very good boy. He is doing a lot of work on this.
I trained him myself. Love him. Also, to be clear, Ambrose, Labrador.
Okay.
All border dogs are Labradors, so Labrador.
He is putting in. He is doing a good work, and keeping this thing from regenerating too much, or at all, really. You two are still just making it over there.
Mm.
But again, with Ambrose, the flashlight, and all the chaos, you can't not but see where it is. They didn't get that far into the woods. And so basically, Ambrose is just going to have to survive one attack before your two agents show up on the scene.
So, yeah, I think my dog's going to die, but that's fine.
So that is a 41 Ambrose will have to beat.
What skill would he use?
Dog training again. Yeah.
54.
Okay. He barely dodges out of the way.
Yes.
And now both of you are there, and it sees you two. But that is Ambrose's action, is to dodge.
Yeah.
Ambrose is trying not to die. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't have a gun.
Yeah.
Someone does.
Yeah. You can make a basic unarmed attack to splash gas on it. As a full action, yeah,
I can try that with my 40. Since I have no gun and I must scream.
My gun was knocked away and it would still have bullets in it too.
I'm not gonna find that before I get murdered. So all I'm right, gonna go.
So that
with
was
splash
its
gas.
Action, and Ambrose acted. So Theo, you go next, and then Lydia.
Okay, gas splash time. Come on, dice.
I believe
please.
In you.
62.
All right. So. You know what? I'm gonna give you a choice, Theo.
Mm-hmm.
The choice is, how badly do you want to get gasoline on this thing?
It's fine if it's on me. It's fine if I get gasoline on me too.
Well, it's more that is, do you care about getting gas on yourself too?
Let's get gas on me. It'll be fine.
Okay. So you get gas on it, and you're just clumsy with it, and you get splashed back with it. You just raise it overhead, and you're just shaking it everywhere. It's impossible not to get gas everywhere.
Well, Lydia, I don't have a dispensing device. I don't have an aerosol device. I just have a can, so that's all I can do.
Yeah. Well, Lydia, you're far away enough that you're not automatically splashed with gas.
Great.
So, what do you want to do?
Well, I have these two cans of gas and a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So what I actually want to do is throw one of the cans of gas at it for my action, because next turn what I'm going to want to do is shoot it.
Okay. To throw it accurately would be athletics. I'll give you strength times 5.
Okay.
Because it's a big, hefty boy, but, you know, the creature is pretty close. The thing that was Marlene, not that far.
Thank you. Thank you, Dice. Oh, my God. Ought 8.
Okay.
Oh!
All right. You land it right at its feet, essentially, right on it. It clumps right there. So you need to keep it there. It is smart and it is fast. So
did it get splashed at all?
Did you have the cap open?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Then obviously it got splashed. Yeah. None of you are really focusing on or mentioning anything about Molly. So we'll find out where Molly is based on the next round. So it is going to act first. Ambrose certainly doesn't know what the fuck's going on, so he can't really help you.
I mean, I assume Ambrose is just in attack mode.
Yeah, it actually is going to focus on Theo, awesome. Because you got up close and personal in order to splash gas on it. So
that's fair.
Yeah. Let's see here. Can you beat a 24?
In dodge?
Or unarmed. Yeah, if you want.
I mean, unarmed, I guess, would be slightly better. So I'll try that. Because I have 40.
Yeah.
I'm not going to beat it, but I could. I think that's the important part. Holy shit! 29.
Okay.
Yes.
You barely dodge out of the way.
In my head, I just like step back and then lose balance and tumble.
that's a fair assumption. So it's acted, you've acted, Lydia, I would assume both of you have matches. So you can be dex times 5 to throw a match onto it.
Or I could shoot the jerry can that is currently at its feet.
Yeah, it's not movie rules. That I don't think that'll work.
Yeah, that won't work.
I thought, okay.
Yeah.
Might be.
Yeah. This is not, Delta Green is definitely not cinematic.
I wasn't sure if shooting a jerry can full of gasoline actually would ignite it.
Unfortunately, no.
If you had, there are things you can do. If you can get something called Tannerite, that will explode.
Oh, Tannerite would be good. Or if you had Tannerite, like incendiary rounds, something to light the fumes. Rounds,
but yeah, okay. Or a
flare.
Flare, just chuck it.
Yeah.
But okay, yeah, so no, regular bullets said, will just go through a gas can.
You said Dex times 5?
Yeah, to light a match, throw it onto it, and.
All right, I just got to get under 50. No. 58.
Oh. Okay.
It just goes wide. It just goes nowhere.
Okay. Mm.
Would a fire start anyways or no? Like, there's gas everywhere. It's my question.
I feel like that's a luck check.
You know what? Yeah, that is a luck check.
That's not a good. I'm not saying that's good. I'm just
No. You know what? You know what? Jester, you did make a good point. So you get to make the luck check. So basically, a luck check is a 50-50.
Oh, boy.
If you roll percentile, if it's 50 or less, the fire is lit. If you roll
73,
over.
So no.
Well, no, it was Jester's roll. So sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe.
Yeah.
27 fires on fire.
All right.
We're on fire, everyone.
Yeah. So the forest is now on fire.
That's fine.
It starts spreading. The creature is intelligent. It is going to start run. It is first going to take damage because you did saturate it with gas, so it is extremely on fire. So let's see here. It is hurt, and it is going to try and start running to the. Because I didn't mention there was a lake.
Yeah.
So it's running. Now each of you has Ambrose the dog just runs. It's fire. He panics. He's a good boy, but
there's limits.
There are limits.
I assume he probably runs back to the cabin.
The ground is on fire. You did dodge out of the way, Theo, so you're not on fire yet, but you are soaking wet in gasoline. So there is quite a bit of gasoline on you. So what are you going to do?
I mean, me giving chase would be a fruitless endeavor because I have no weapon. I'm going to look for Preacher.
You see them on the ground. They're unconscious, they're on the ground with their eyes closed. You don't know what their status is.
Right.
Give me a Dex times 5 to get to them and drag them away from the fire. And also for you not to be on fire, because you have
No, two things are not on fire. Now I get it. Dex times 5 is 70, and we have 84. So
you are unable to find a safe path through the fire. So if you want to get to Molly, you are going to expose yourself. You're going to catch on fire. So you hesitate, I assume, unless you don't give a shit.
No, I'm not that. I don't think I'm that brave.
Okay, so
that's totally fair.
All right, so you back away. You're there's fire, and you're like, oh shit. Lydia, what are you going to do?
I'm going to try a. This thing has to run through the forest to the lake. It's going to continue being on fire, at least until then.
Yeah.
So I am actually going to attempt to get Molly out of the fire as well.
Okay. String times 5 to... you have a clear... You're not soaked in gasoline, so you're not as combustible. So string times 5 to drag Molly away in one round.
It's a not one.
Oh, oh. That's a critical success. You hoist Molly, drag them quite a ways through a burst of adrenaline, and you find Molly's gun on the ground and snatch it up. So, and Ambrose starts following you. So Ambrose stays by Molly and starts whimpering. Theo, what are you going
to
do?
I guess try and follow around the edge of the fire to where the others are going.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. That doesn't take a roll. So Lydia, what are you going to do?
I am going to head out of the fire as fast as possible and, tamp down any fires that have started on Preacher.
Okay. No, Preacher's fine. Preacher. Okay. Well, I mean, Preacher's not... It's fine from the fire. Preacher is unconscious.
I'm dying. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
First aid, then.
Give me a first aid check. Theo, you can assist you, so you get a plus 10. To
27, and my first aid is a 30, so okay. I am at... 27 under 40.
You actually wake up.
That's nice.
Yeah.
My hand immediately goes up to
Yeah.
Pet Ambrose on the head.
Yeah. There's You are stabilized for now, but you're in extremely bad condition. Yeah. You're definitely going to have some lingering damage from this. But all of you can give me alertness checks.
I see nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nope.
I got 33.
All right, yeah, you see a small fiery light going through the forest about to hit the lake.
I mean, this feels like more than we can handle.
Yeah, it feels like they should be taking some damage from that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lingering fire. Well, probably just not healing is the bad part. Probably just negates the healing.
The light goes out. You can direct the others to tell them where to look. If you want.
I just, over there, just saw the light go out. Were they on fire?
Yeah.
Did it go out in the lake? Or did it just go out?
You'll have to go over to invest. You're too far away to see from where
I don't know. It's just over there. I can't really. This feels like more than we can do.
We have
First things first. We were told to sanitize this cabin. And everything in it. So, what we're going to do is we're going to rip up this letter, and we have this single can of Jerry gas. I have this single Jerry can of gasoline left over, and these matches. And we are going to set the cabin on fire.
Yeah. We should get the car away from.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
That's easily arranged. You pour gas in the cabin. Are you burning everything in the cabin? Or are you taking anything from the cabin with you?
I don't think the fire will get hot enough to burn the human teeth. It won't burn the glass.
The weird glass sphere. Yeah. Any of the stuff that's indestructible, we'll have to pack into.
Yeah. Anything that we assume won't melt, we should probably take.
Oh, I am specifically putting the. I am starting the fire with his letter.
Okay.
Oh, no, that makes sense. I just figure we should probably take the stuff that, the fire won't destroy.
Yeah,
we need to
there are documents and, bloody suit. Yeah, you can burn that. That's obviously very combustible.
But he also wanted us specifically to burn the septic tank. Like,
burning the letter, because we know nothing about that.
But what if there's more stuff down there?
Okay, I'll go shine a flashlight down it.
We can.
I mean, it's a long septic tank. You can't, you can see. Yeah.
I mean, we can. I mean, yeah. That's we did what we could. We burned things.
Okay. You set the cap. You can set the cabin on fire. You take the sphere and the teeth with you. And you leave, or is there anything else you want to do before you go?
I mean, I don't think we can go back, and I don't think we can kill Marlene.
I mean,
she's so strong.
Should we see if the fire, if its trail led to the lake, or if it dropped before there? Is that something we can afford to not know?
I mean, it's not that far of a walk. It looks like it's a 5-10 minute walk from where you are to get to.
I just mean if we're in the car.
It's like a 10 minute walk. So yeah, 10-15 minute walk. So it's within sight. A bit of a hike, but there's no path. There's no drivable path. No.
No. Because my thing is that if we stay in the car, we don't have to, maybe get jumped. Because if she's still out there, she might attack again.
I mean, you can still drive the car. It's just going to require a driving check because it's night and you're going off road in a rental sedan, like I mentioned.
Walking out here.
Okay, so you don't check. Out? See, you don't want to check where the.
I feel like we should. I feel like we need to at least check where it was, just so that because what if she just dropped? What if she did actually die? I don't think she did, but
I'm convinced. The rest of the woods are still going to be on fire, so we got to be careful.
I mean, the fire, it's late January. It's January 9th in California. I would say it's fairly, it's dry, but there is dew and it's near a lake, so it's going to be a little.
If we walk along the shore of the lake, we'll also be safer.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not starting a forest fire right now, at least.
Can I use first aid on myself?
I mean, setting the cabin on fire is probably might be a hazard. So yeah. Sorry. Someone's already used first aid on you. You can't do any. Yeah, you need medical. You do need a doctor eventually. So
I'll double check.
Okay. So you are you going to check on it?
Yeah, I think we have to.
Should all of us go, or should one person stay and like if you know we're not back and.
Okay. So Molly goes with Ambrose.
I'll go. I have a gun.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just wait?
Wait with the car.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So the two of you go out. You walk, and then you can see a blackened pile on the rocky beach near the shore.
Look like a body.
It looks, it is human shaped. It is like human remains, a skeleton, flesh burnt.
I shoot it twice.
Yes, can we shoot it?
You blow holes in it. The gunshots echo through the forest.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, people do come here. You're probably, it is a skeletal body.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what we need to do is drag it back to the cabin and throw it in the fire. I feel like if we leave it here, this feels weird.
No arguments for me, Sergeant. Let's go.
I'm not a sergeant.
Corporal.
I mean, you'll probably need my help with that because didn't Preacher's arm get broken?
Yeah, my arm's fucked.
Okay.
My
arm's fucked. So
I mean, head back and report, I guess.
Okay. You take the remains with you, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, they can't be that heavy after having been dead twice and also burned.
Nope.
Yeah. Nope. I'll help as much as I can with my one good arm.
You can take your jacket and put it in your jacket.
Great.
As a bindle, essentially. And put it in the trunk.
I don't think we're going to put it in the trunk. I guess we could
put it in the cab.
Throw it in the septic tank.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll throw in the septic tank. Is there any gasoline left? How many?
You had 20 gallons total. I think you have some left. Yeah.
I mean, start a fire in the septic tank too, and then
Seems good.
All right, so you burn the septic tank, you burn the cabin, you leave, driving out. It's 3 a.m.
We should call the second we have signal.
Yeah.
Like phone call.
See if they maybe have their own. See if our handler maybe has like a med team that they could recommend.
Please handle Kincaid.
Please do.
Yeah. I'm so technical. Lydia, you're calling. Okay. You hear a voice. Hi. Yes.
Are you having a wonderful nap, Mr. Kincaid?
Oh.
Sorry. I do sleep occasionally.
Yeah, I know. And meanwhile, we've been out here busting our asses for something that the danger was not adequately communicated to us. That
obviously real.
Yeah, okay. You were.
Okay. Do you need medical attention?
Yes. Immediately. Okay.
I'll have meet me at this meet me at a this place the which he gives you an address for the Blue King storage facility right outside of city limits.
Is that still the full 4 hours away, or is it more like a 3?
It's like 3, yeah.
A persuade of 40, and I'm angry. Mm-hmm. So I want to use it.
Okay.
So, when were you going to tell us that the agent whose home we were sanitizing was a terrifying pervert with a taste for 15-year-long dead wives?
We didn't know. That's the nature of the special action program. We don't know. That's why we said,
So
I don't feel like we were prepped for a zombie.
So, you sent a border cop.
Let's not
cop,
talk over the phone.
A state agent. No, we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. I rolled a 49, so I failed. But you sent a state health official, a border cop, and a member of the Department of State in to handle a zombie. Do you know that they don't die when you shoot them in the head, Mr. Kincaid?
That doesn't surprise me.
That doesn't surprise you.
No.
I would love to have been let in on that information at all.
The problem,
I know you didn't know that, but like,
I will talk to you in person. He hangs up.
Wow.
Son of a bitch.
Wow.
I throw the phone against the dashboard.
Okay. It is a long drive back. I think all of you are in pain. Yeah, all of you.
Yeah, I think I only got my ribs bruised, but we're all in pain.
Ambrose is in emotional pain. Doing great, though.
Yeah, Ambrose is fine. It is a quiet drive back, I imagine.
The dog die? No.
Yeah, the dog does not die.
We passed everyone.
Yeah. Just all three humans almost died, but
yeah.
So you get to a storage facility. The gate is open, and there are a couple vehicles parked around one of the units. Two cars, and you see Michael Kincaid and an old tired woman with a lab coat on. She's smoking a cigarette as they're waiting for you. She motions for all of you to go inside the storage unit. And then they close the gate. You can see they've made it into a makeshift clinic.
That's neat.
Kincaid, there's a couple of chairs on the opposite end. He's like, each of you. The woman says, I don't want to know any details. I'll just treat your injuries. And
I feel like I need another tetanus shot.
I have some here.
Yeah. Maybe rabies.
So Kincaid motions for you, Lydia, to come with him outside to talk. So I understand the nature of the special access program is that compartmentalization of knowledge is considered more important than telling everyone. Yeah, well, knowledge is corrosive. Knowledge is dangerous. Knowledge is harmful. Now you know that the dead can come back. And that's knowledge you can't put a cork on.
Oh, is that why we elected Trump? Because knowledge is dangerous and we needed someone who didn't have enough of it.
Trump doesn't know about this program.
Horse shit.
This program operates more on doesn't really exist legally, technically. It technically does, it technically doesn't. There's a lot of legal fictions to make this happen.
Are you QAnon?
No. I'm saying that the universe is made up of very hostile and indifferent things to us, and we're very small and weak, and the more people know that, the worse things get. So we try and destroy those things before things get even worse than they already are. That's the long and the short of it. And the less you know, the better off you are. But someone has to go and burn those things. You look like a good fit for the program, so we have to get as many people as we can, because as you imagine, there's a bit of a burnout rate on this program.
So technically, this doesn't exist, right?
Correct.
Technically, you're not my boss, right?
Technically.
And technically, you can't get me fired, right?
No.
I punch him.
Okay, yeah, roll unarmed.
I punch him in the solar plexus, to be clear.
Okay.
I miss.
Okay. He, ducks back. Look, I don't like being where I am either, all right? There are actually worse things that can happen to you. I know. I've seen it. I know.
Are you threatening me, Mr. Kincaid?
No, I'm saying I'm in a bad situation too, and I'm just trying to make the best of it like everyone else, all right?
So you're in a bad situation, so you decide to bring everyone else into this bad situation?
Yes, because otherwise an even worse thing will happen, because I have to be useful to the program. Otherwise, I'm expendable too. We're all expendable when it comes down to it. Look,
great program you got there.
Yeah, well, there are things out there so much worse than anything you can imagine, and they don't give a shit about us, and they will, and we have to stay out of their way or keep them at bay as long as we can, all right? Or otherwise, it's all gone. Like, extinction-level events. It's bad, all right? It's worse than you think. I don't want to tell you, because you don't want to know. Do you want to be able to sleep at night? Do you want to be able to look at your friends and family and have a nice time? Do you want to, die peacefully in your sleep? The more you know, the less likely that any of that's going to happen.
I don't know why you're telling me this when you were having just a wonderful little nap right before we got here.
Because I have to sleep sometimes as well, all right?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to.
This is...
Is it necessary for me to become a wife-enslaving necrophiliac? You're not really feeding me any specific reason why I should be joining this program.
Yeah, I'm not your boss,
but security. No, you don't exist. This can't be for national security.
Yeah, it is. Because someone has to do this. Someone has to burn these things. Someone has to stop these things.
Who's your boss?
Look, all right, you don't want to play. You'll find out sooner or later.
Like, well, I'll find out. No, I want to call your boss right now.
All right. No, go ahead. I'm not going to. Good luck. Look, go in there, get your wounds treated, go home.
I will punch you again.
I know you're not happy with what happened, but.
I'm rolling persuasion.
Okay.
I crit fail.
Okay. All right. Look, just go home. Pretend it didn't happen. Go on with your life.
Pretend it didn't happen!
Yeah. Pretend? Just pretend. That's all. Yeah, go ahead. The thing is, how do you know what whatever was out there is actually dead?
Should have thrown you in the fucking sewer tank, Kincaid. Go fuck yourself. I go inside.
All right. Kincaid stays out there if any of Theo or if Molly, after you get your wounds treated.
I mean, I'm going to check in. I'm going to look at Lydia and say, so, how'd that go?
Oh, there's aliens in the universe and they're trying to eat us or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I look at the woman.
Is he paying you?
No, I do this because I believe in it.
Oh, get fucked. Like, you do this because you believe in it. Come on.
What is it that you believe in? Almost
kidding.
I believe that
there's things that should be stopped. And if we don't stop, them, no one will.
Okay, but why? I would have loved to know that before I went on a thing, which is just destroy some government documents.
Like fucking Dick Cheney in 03. Jesus.
Would have loved to know if there was, like, you know, wasn't exactly pitched as a you might die to some sort of monster situation.
No, I know it's never like that, but I'll.
Fine.
There is something. I knew someone, a friend, and they died. But then they came back. Only it wasn't my friend. It was something.
It was a zombie.
No, they're not zombies. They eat the dead. This probably may not be the thing that you met. They eat the dead and then they can look like whoever they eat. They know what they know. They knew what my friend knew, but they also. They knew a lot of things. And.
This one was made by. Someone used to work for the program.
Yeah.
That's what it said, anyways.
There's a lot of
someone
bad
made
things.
It.
All I know is if I went to a graveyard, there's a good chance I would never come back. There's certain places I can't go anymore because they're looking for me, and they might be looking for you.
So I'm supposed to stay at. Would have loved to know I'm supposed to stay at a graveyard too. Would have been really helpful.
Well, think about it this way. That thing that you burned, whatever you did to it, what if some civilian had found it?
I mean, I had a gun, but that didn't really.
You came back and it didn't, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I'm all three of you
came. Yeah. So what if his family came back? This guy, you know, Kincaid told me that you're clearing out an agent's place. Did he have family?
Well, his wife was in the fucking septic tank.
Well,
he had children and apparently a grandchild.
Yeah, well, what if they had found it?
I'm not saying there's a better solution. I'm just saying I wish I'd known more going in. Just anything, really. Not on that situation, just, you know, the fact it's like, hey, by the way, you know, monsters are real, so.
Once you start knowing too much, you start getting ideas. Like, look at
knowledge
like, what
is corrosive and leads
well,
I mean, would
for
any...
example, the State Department not having more than half staff right now, and now I'm being taken off shit like this to handle aliens from outer space who've decided they want to eat graveyards.
Would anyone in this room have believed that there was a hard to kill monster? Possibly, like, I don't know what I would have thought. Like,
I don't think I would have believed it, but I feel like at least I would have had a thought of it happening.
Well, also, think about this: this was one of our own, right? A retired agent,
the wife enslaving necrophiliac.
Yeah, and he knew too much. He was able to do that. How do you think you learn how to be able to do that to another person?
You knew too much. Knowing too much doesn't make you turn your wife into a zombie. Knowing too much merely gives you the ability to do it.
I think he was predisposed to turning people into zombies.
Yeah, but you don't have the tools to do it. So
it's not corrosive. Knowledge just gives you more options.
Well,
it's a philosophy debate. She says something in Cantonese.
Okay.
It's not particularly polite.
Yeah. So all of you get your wounds treated. You said, all right, go to the airport.
Well, I guess.
Hold on.
I'm going to be off duty for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Kincaid genuinely looks sorry about putting you in the situation, but how do you deal with the monster in the tank? Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I will say to Kincaid, whatever it was is dead. We did
good
manage that, I guess.
You did that. That's important.
Yeah, we also have a couple of weird things that we brought back. There's a sphere that's magnetic. I would like to not deal with that anymore. If you would like to take that.
Yeah, it's sort of we figured we'd take stuff that wouldn't burn.
There's also some teeth in the bag. Okay. Some like child's teeth.
We have protocols for these things. Yeah.
I mean, my arm is fucked and I'm injured. I'm getting like, can I get like leave?
Yeah, you find out you've been in a training accident while on duty. So,
cool. Awesome.
But you lose 2 points of strength. From that injury permanently.
How am I doing?
You are also brought below half, so.
Score.
Yeah. You lose a point of dexterity.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have now literal scars.
I've also decided that if I use this character again, he's going to have a raspy voice from now on.
Yeah. Wait. No, that makes sense.
One thing I did forget to mention, if you failed any skills, put a mark on them, you will improve them by 1d4 for the next operation. If there is another operation for your characters. Yeah. That is last things last. The thing that was Marlene was actually so out of character. Marlene lied about the circumstances. Bowman tried, his wife died of cancer.
He tried to bring her back to life.
Yes. And instead, her corpse was possessed by an alien intelligence. Bowman found
it. Correct.
But it spoke with his wife's voice, and he put it in the septic tank, but could not bring himself to burn it himself. So I specifically wanted to make sure all your characters had no previous exposure to the unnatural, because otherwise, if you did, you'd be like, "Yeah, no, just burn it."
Wow. Yeah, burn it and walk away.
Because like out of character, it's like, yeah, obviously, just burn it and go. But in character, it's like, no, there's a person down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. This scenario has been obviously run many times, and it goes very variable. it is possible to destroy the creature's body, but it can possess the corpse of something nearby. Fortunately, you did roll enough. Since you caught it on fire, it did burn out. I'm not sure if it would found another body. It might have found the body of a fish or something.
there's an evil fucking fish in that lake.
That's right. We're going to have to destroy. You're going to destroy the fish.
Go to the lake.
The fish just has to wait till someone dies near the lake, and then it's good.
I'm very excited for Operation Crimson Fish.
Yeah. but it might come back. But the thing is, if you realized it was unnatural, its next ploy would have been like, hey, I can teach you about the unnatural. You want to know about that glass sphere? You want to know about the teeth?
No, I
can
tell you.
Yeah, I can tell you about all that shit. But
so there's other things that it can do if you're more experienced agents. That's fun.
But it generally has to be let out in order for it to like start trying to kill you all. And it's very hungry. And Delta Green in a nutshell is you're sent on a mystery with very little information, and you never know when things are going to hit the shit hits the fan. Like that is very questions, comments, Jester in particular, this is your first time playing Delta Green.
It's also my first time playing Delta Green.
So what'd you think?
I had fun.
Okay.
I've never really played I've played like a D100 system like one other time, but this is kind of new. I'd want to play more to feel like I'm more comfortable with it, but I had a fun time.
Yeah, great. Jacqueline, what do you think?
I really enjoyed it. I mostly just hope people were okay with my character being like angry and tired.
Yeah. I loved it. It was so fun just to sit here because I didn't want to interrupt. So I was like, I just want to hear you complain and tear this man to shreds. Like every time, totally, I just want to hear you.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that at least one of the other players hadn't played DG before, so I specifically gave myself the motivation of don't get in anyone's way. I just kind of wanted to be like a very kind of physically useless nerd shuffling around the background.
I love that so much.
Yeah. No, that was really good, Ted, because, like, I really like the mix of characters, too, like the choosing the canine unit character.
That was cool. I've not seen that in a DG game before.
Listened. Ross was like, go federal agent, and then, like, in, like, the folder, the list, like, two down, there's, like, a canine one, and I clicked it, and I went, I can have a dog. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd never have pets about Ambrose there for a second.
I've never had a pet in a game, and I'm like, in this game, I was like, my dog's gonna die, but be a fun game.
Shocked
very,
that it didn't.
Yeah, it was very lucky.
I was shocked. Yeah. I was like, wow, I'm gonna die, and the dog's not.
Yeah. That was new, but like you had really interesting characters to work in, and Jacqueline, your characters are actually totally natural, like Delta Green. Even the special access program, which is the legitimate version, is still is in the canon, like kept secret from the president. Like military industrial complex just doing its own thing. But it's all made up of like crazy people and fanatics and zealots that like are hijacking.
Burnouts and zealots. The best people to deal with.
They don't give a shit. They just like grab people who think like they'll be good cannon fodder and shove them into the thing. Like it's just this brutal
Delta vicious. Green has some really fucky themes, which I am really interested in because I'm not sure how many of them are intentional and how many of them are not, because now you essentially have this intermilitary group whose job it is to attack aliens, and with QAnon being a huge thing recently. Delta, that's why I was like, I threw in the QAnon joke because 2017 is when QAnon started. It is why, and like, are you QAnon? Yeah. It sounds fucking ridiculous. And but then also you have.
I love the idea of Delta Green agents having to be like, no.
Which I never have this issue about.
Which, if I bring this character back, I'm going to be pursuing that through line and making fun of Delta Green agents for being QAnon. But also, like, this idea of a secretive military task force that is accountable to no one, taking care of the real threats in a world that we are currently living in now, has layers of horror. Fascist implications.
Sure. Yeah. Layers of horror. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, well, it's also, like, Delta Green is like trying to be a pure Lovecrafting thing, which is nihilistic, like cosmic horror. Like the idea that, like in the Delta Green canon, Delta Green is doomed to fail. Delta Green, even when they do their missions, what they think is successfully, they often don't work. Like they don't understand what they're fighting. They are doomed to lose the war against the thing that they're fighting, and often they do more almost like. Like in most of the scenarios, like they often do more damage than the thing that they're trying to blow up. Yeah. So like, and everyone involved in it, like, has their life ruined or gets killed horribly.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
There's no big damn heroes. It's not exactly a thin blue line mindset.
Yeah, which I love in other hands it could very easily be a thin blue line mindset.
Yeah.
100%. And like,
yeah.
And it's also why I was ripping into Preacher. Sorry, Jester.
Yeah, no. God, yeah, no. Fucking.
Yeah,
awful.
So Customs and Border Patrol tend to be. And then just bleep for a few minutes there, Ross, and the audience can just imagine what I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I'm very much not a fan. I mean, like, I'm not a fan of any. I mean, like, any position that would end up in Delta Green, not really a fan of.
It's very easy to run a game in the Delta Green setting without using, you know, law enforcement agents.
Yeah. Although you can go in real dark directions with it, too, because Caleb did, like, an Operation Condor game that was real grim.
He sure did, didn't he?
I also find the themes interesting just because it feels incredibly American, and as someone who's not American, it's quite interesting to sort of see it. Like, to be clear, fucking all cops go to hell.
Yep.
Like,
all cops are beautiful.
It's not a uniquely American problem, but it is interesting to just see some of the bureaucracy of it, because even the attitudes of it are really interesting, because in Canada it's just a very like different like even public perception approach. It's all still bad. It's just weird.
As players, I always feel weird saying like I really recommend reading the Handler's Guide, but like if you're going in as a player, like you should probably avoid spoilers and knowledge, but also just the timeline of Delta Green is really bleak and interesting. Like there's a lot of a lot of fun stuff in
there is actually, they are working on a Canadian supplement. It's called MEPIC, which is a Canadian.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on Instagram.
Covert agency that investigates and combats the unnatural. And it has its own history. So,
yeah, because the game is super interesting and I still find it fascinating. But some of the touch points that, like, I think immediately connect to American audiences, I have to take a second to, like, process it through my just media understanding of the U.S. instead of first hand.
That's okay. Most Americans only have popular media understanding of the U.S. too.
I mean, for sure. But yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah. No, for sure. Cool. Well, thank you all for playing. Again, we'll have links in the show notes for Jacqueline and Jester and Thad, whatever.
I don't need a link. I'm just hanging out.
Yeah.
Smoke bomb. Don't look for me.
Yeah.
I do not exist.
I'm not real.
As much as possible.
Yeah. We'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.